Y'all don't forget to stop praying. I won't be before you very long, but there was a thought that came to my mind earlier today. Maybe perhaps just for a few minutes, I might read from the scriptures the place in question that I had in my mind. Find it in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. A lot of times the Lord had spoken to people of God in the location where he was, and it came to time he spoke with Pharisees. And Pharisees, when they perceived Jesus, they had a disdainful look upon him, and I'm speaking the man Jesus Christ, and they were at times were almost like foes. I'm thankful that the Lord died for enemies. Scripture says so in Romans. When we were enemies of God. That's the nature of man. But the Lord gathered seeing the Pharisees were gathered together, verse 41. Jesus asked them. It's an important question that I believe when the Lord speaks to our heart, we find that question and the answer in our hearts, being born again in the Spirit of God. The Lord asked this question, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Now, these men were very learned in the Old Testament scriptures, and they had studied it up and down, and I believe they have taught the people up and down regarding the Messiah. It's a good question to ask. I believe I know the answer. I believe you know the answer, who Christ's father is. Now, I'm among many primitive Baptists who believe in the eternal sonship of Christ. In retrospect, that there's no ending or nor any beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's eternal. It's a good question. Whose son is he? And they answered in the same manner that they have taught, because I'll refer to previous occasions where many who were sick and afflicted had called upon him in this same manner. And their response is, they say unto him, the son of David. So they recognize the royalty, the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Right. By the scriptures, it makes that complete reference of Christ being the King of the Jews. Anytime you read about the Son of David, it goes back to the beginning when the kings were established in Israel. So anyone that was a son of David, it has that same royal lineage. And I'll give you a little description of a Pharisee. Is a child of God who's blinded by their religion that's based on works. You see a few chapters back and a couple of chapters prior to this one, and even there was a Canaanitish woman that called this Lord the same thing. There were two blind men that said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us." You know, that's the way in respect to see the royal presence of of the Lord Jesus Christ, they see that only a king can extend mercy. In their case, it was blindness. You look over in the book of Mark, chapter 10, I believe one of the men was called Bartimaeus, saying the same thing, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he wouldn't keep quiet either. And the Canaanitish woman, she had a sick daughter. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And here she was, not of the nationality of Israel, but yet she recognized his royalty. That's a good response to somebody who's blind or who's somebody who is an alien. And in this case, these Pharisees see that here is a man that represents royalty. The Christ comes from royalty. That's why they call him the son of David. You know, did you know that in the first chapter of this book, that Joseph was called the son of David by the angel of the Lord? But in reality, Jesus asking them some more questions. He saith unto them, "How then doth David call him Lord, saying?" And we know this is written in the Psalms. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" See, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, existed before David existed. It's a good thing to somebody who's blind that doesn't fully understand that Jesus is the Son of God. The gospel, Paul writes Timothy in the second epistle, first chapter, that Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel speaks of him who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel that he handed down to his saints of old that preached it. And they are the blessed ones to see the true deity of Christ and whose son he really is. I believe David had some hindsight in that matter, looking forward. Here we are in this day and age have that same hindsight of who the Lord Jesus Christ, looking backward. Now I tell you, these Pharisees could not grab that unless that revelation come to them. I believe when those blind men that could not contain themselves calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, to have mercy on them, until they received their sight, they could not see the man Jesus as he is. I'm not saying that those blind men were not God's children. I'm saying that they most definitely are. And I'm not saying that these Pharisees that were gathered together, though their minds were blinded to who Christ really is, because they were looking for a man who would come in as a king that would wipe away all their enemies before their eyes. If David saw that this King Jesus was sat down at the right hand of God and will reign until the last enemy, being death, are placed under his feet, then he's looking at the true Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins. That's something to look at in perspective of what the gospel teaches us versus what human nature seeks to find, what the scriptures say. Jesus at one time said unto these Pharisees, "You search them. For in them ye think ye have eternal life." Those are the things that are testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in one occasion there was a very wealthy young man that saw the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Good master, what good thing must I do that I might inherit eternal life?" For one thing, you can't inherit something that is freely given. I mean, you can't earn it. It's freely given by inheritance. And doing anything doesn't give you an eternal life or doesn't give you an inheritance. It's the response to being alive in Christ that gives you treasure in heaven. Now, this young man, if you be imperfect, you lack one thing. And, you know, we know that not everybody's perfect. And neither was this young man, because he had a great amount of wealth, and he was told to sell all that he had and give to the poor and take up his cross and follow him. Not in a way of entering into eternal life, but in a way that his life might be more abundant. See, there's a difference. Life and immortality is brought to life. It is made to us to realize where our life comes from: the Son of God. I thank you for your time and your attention, and I ask you to continue to pray for this dear brother. You know, one time me and Sister Martha went to a meeting in Southeast Georgia. I was called upon to introduce services. I spoke a few minutes, and that set Brother Jeff Winfrey on fire. I think the Lord was in that matter. You know, it wasn't my place to get up and speak an hour, but it was the Lord's put the Spirit of God upon him to lift him up. And I think that's one. If you want to go to YouTube, it's at Mount Zion Church over there in east of Dublin. That was a good sermon. Listen to it sometime. I enjoyed it. And I thank everybody that was there, and I think the Lord blessed it. It wasn't because of me. It was because the Lord had his hand in it. I thank you.